Ramsey TV.
I've got so much to get in today. At the end of the week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to try. All right, no goofing around. Straight to the truth. After I introduce myself, is music finished? All right, this is Martin Zender, and happy to be with you here at the end of the week. Thank you for those who found the article I was talking about yesterday, the ZWTF article. That's my newsletter, by the way. You can find every single one of them I ever published over 4 years' time on my homepage, martinzender.com. On the left, you will see ZWTF archives. Worthy reading there, if I don't mind saying so myself. I had one of those issues in which I described a woman who's watching a play, and she freaks out over the action on the stage, and she goes on stage to try to change things, and I use this as an analogy of the sovereignty of God's and of human free will and all that good stuff. Somebody found it for me, so I'm going to go through that with you. But I want to emphasize in Isaiah 46:10, the very key is that God, of course, tells from the beginning the hereafter. So from the beginning, he tells what's going to happen from the beginning. And from aforetime, what has not yet been done. There's the key. There's the key. What has not yet been done. I don't want to emphasize that because, it's not as though he looks to the future, in which case something would have already been done. If God cheats in designating things and people beforehand, if he cheats by going into the future,
I just thought I'd have a quick look, not that I really am interested, but I do need to know what happens so I can come back to my time and say what's going to happen, but I'm really not honestly saying what's going to happen because I'm still reacting, you see, it's still a time game, really, I hate to admit that, but if you put me on the witness stand, I would have to say it's still a time game. What's the difference between me looking into the future to find out what's going to happen or being in the present trying to find out what's going to happen? Either way, I'm trying to find out what has happened. Shh, that's our little secret.
Okay, thank you, God. So, telling from aforetime what has not yet been done. Romans 9, Jacob and Esau. Before they were born, read Romans 9, I'll put the reference down here, before they could have put anything into action, whether good or evil, God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate, makes a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. That rules out the fact that he looks into the future to see what they're going to do, because he determines what they're going to do. Everything rolls out from him, you see. Everything rolls out. They do what they do because it originated from God. All is out of God. They continue doing what they're doing because all is through God, and they end up back in God, richer for the experience of evil, because all is into God. Romans 11:36. So in either case, God is not cheating by spying on the future. I just thought I'd spy on the future a little bit. Nothing to see here. No, that's not how it happens. I wrote an introduction to the video yesterday, and I think there's some good elements here. If you don't mind me sharing that with you, I don't know if all of you look at that every time, the little description on YouTube. In this case, it's not little. I wrote like a mini series here. 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. What I say here is God states clearly through the prophet Isaiah concerning his predetermination of everything, and it goes like this. He predetermines everything. Yeah. Billions of people, however, this is what I do here. I get into the reason why I believe people latch onto this independence from God thing, i.e. free will. I'm sorry. I know people try to say it's not that, but I believe that when you get down to the bottom layer, it's pride. It's wanting to have that independence, because billions of people do not believe God's statement in Isaiah, which is pretty clear if you ask me why. Because of the nearly universal Adamic infection. What's the infection? Pride. Now, believers in the sovereignty of God, that is, that everything rolls out from God, that he determined everything, they're relieved of this infection because they believe Isaiah. They read it and simply believe it. Now, when it comes to, I hate the word predetermination. I hate theological terms. They call it determinism. I'm not an ism of any kind. So, it's just that God calls everything into being before it comes into being. He dictates it. He knows it. He sees it before it even happens. So whatever happens rolls out from him. So when it comes to the predetermination of God of everything that comes to pass, pride, I'm using a capital P here to personify it. Pride wears blinders. Because pride, due to its nature, must scratch out some independence from the deity so as to give its worthy acts value. Here's the thing, value. Because again, according to pride, what's value is an act that has been predetermined by God. Those who adhere to this false teaching just can't see what value their work is if God dictated it beforehand. In other words, their reasoning dictates that they can only be rewarded for something, or they can only be blamed for something if they did it independently. They don't see that their vessel and their works, whatever they do, is a manifestation of God's glory working through them, or God's plan in the case of vessels of dishonor working through them. They're a canvas, a living, breathing, flesh-coated canvas on which God paints a part, a vital part, as I said yesterday, of his plan. But they don't see anything valuable about it unless they originated it and continued it and consummated it. Nothing knocks the wind from pride's sails faster than the predetermination of God. In other words, nothing knocks the wind out of pride's sails faster than Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. Now, since pride has to have wind in its sails, it therefore must look the other way. Fast, very fast, look the other way. Oh, there's Isaiah 46, 10, 11. Okay, I got somewhere to go. Has to look away from that verse because that proves the predetermination of God to be true. The free will reasoning mechanisms can't wrap their head around it. But I want to be congratulated for something. Sorry. So, this is very important. This is the last paragraph of my description yesterday. It is helpful to be aware at this point that, now this is going to seem complicated. Follow me. I'm going to try to slow down. Might not have too much luck there. Let's see. It is helpful to know that if predetermination, that is, if Isaiah 46, 10 and 11 is not true. In other words, God doesn't decide beforehand what's going to happen. Then God himself must wait in real time with the rest of us to see what's going to happen next. Are you following me? If he doesn't predetermine it, then it's open, it's up for grabs. Each person can come to a fork in the road, okay? And since the will is supposedly free, then that person can independently decide whether to go to the right or to the left. Now, if God knows ahead of time which way they're going to go, then they're not free, because free will states that something does not have to happen because it's open. It depends on the person in that moment at that time. You see, in that moment at that time. That's the only way to be consistent. That's the only way you can deny the predetermination of God. God says, I'm just going to wait to see how it happens. I'm not going to predetermine anything. I'm just going to play it as it comes. Yes, I'm going to just let time roll out and wait around with my creation to see what's going to happen next. You have to say that. If you're going to be consistent with free will and consistent with God not determining everything beforehand. God himself would have to wait to see what's going to happen.
I don't know what they're going to do. I didn't tell him what to do ahead of time. Ooh, look at that. What's that guy doing? He's going to the right. That's interesting. Well, I can play a time game. I can see him going to the right and then come back to my time before the eons and then, quote, predetermine it, which I'm really not giving away my secrets here because I saw it. I saw it happening in real time, but I'm a time trickery dude, so I go back and I pretend to predetermine it, but I really didn't because I saw them do it. If I truly predetermine something before the thing happened, then it would exactly be that, a predetermination, and it would have to roll out the way I decided it would roll out. And if it does roll out, according as I decide it rolls out, then free will would be impossible, wouldn't it now? Because these things would have to happen. And so the decision of the human to go to the right or the left would be an illusion of freedom. Not really freedom. It couldn't really be freedom, it would have to be only an illusion, because I know which way they're going to go.
So think about that. Even foreknowledge destroys human free will. See, I'm lingering here because this is so good. This is another facet that those who deny the predetermination of God have to deal with. Any foreknowing of God, of any event, requires that the event belonging to the foreknowing take place. If God foreknows it, it has to take place. And he does foreknow it, of course, because he dictated it. He wrote it. He decided it. I prefer deciding rather than predetermination. God decided ahead of time. There it is, finally. Whew. Man. God decided ahead of time what would happen. Yeah, predetermination. Get rid of that. I'm sorry I mentioned it for the first 8 minutes of the show or whatever. How many minutes are we into the show? 12. God deciding beforehand what's going to happen. So if he decides it, then obviously he knows it's going to happen. And if he knows it's going to happen, foreknowledge, then it has to happen. It's required to happen. Or else God would be wrong. Think about that. If God knows it's going to happen, well, I know that guy's going to go to the right. I know he's going to go to the right because I determined it ahead of time. What? He's going to the left. Oh, my goodness. I guess I didn't predetermine very well, did I? I guess I didn't decide ahead of time very good. Is it good or is it well in that condition? In that case, I forget. I was absent that day in grammar school. Yeah, see? It's one thing or the other. Either he decides ahead of time and it has to happen, in which free will is impossible, because if it has to happen, the person really doesn't have a choice. It's an illusion of a choice. In their mind, because of the beautiful bubble of ignorance, they are sitting there debating, but the true God is sitting back, and I'm not going to use that voice because the true God doesn't talk like that. The true God is sitting back and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And while this person at the spot of the intersection says, should I go to the right or to the left? And this person's running all these things through their mind, and the true God is sitting there, man, he'll figure it out because I know which way he's going to go. He's going to go to the right. He thinks he's making a free decision. Well, he's not. This is how the true God talks. Kind of sounds like me, right? Thinks he's making a free will decision, but that's an illusion because I already figured out that he's going to the right. I already figured it out. Why did I didn't figure it out. Actually, you almost slipped into the Christian God. The Christian God tries to figure things out. Thanks for reminding me. Yes, I didn't figure it out. I determined beforehand. I decided beforehand that it would happen. And I knew it was going to happen. And since I know everything, and since I'm never wrong and I never sin, that nothing I know is going to happen doesn't happen. And so any person standing at that intersection thinking that they're... that the universe is waiting to see what they're going to do. It's a freaking deception. It's a terrible deception. The universe is waiting to see what they're going to do. God himself is waiting to see what they're going to do if God does not determine everything beforehand. And even if he cheats, looks through the telescope of time, he's still looking through the telescope of time at the future, at which time he's still waiting to see what they're going to do. It's just a time game. It's the same thing. God is still waiting to see what people are going to do. Now, I actually have friends who are consistent on this point. One of them is Rick Farwell. One of them is Dan Sheridan. They hold to this insane teaching. Well, it's actually, no, I take that back. It's not insane. It's actually logical. It's called open theism. Open theism states that the future is open. Nothing is determined. See, these guys are intellectually consistent to the point of absurdity. Because they don't believe that God determines everything. They used to, but something happened. I don't know what happened. Somebody put something in their food. They bumped their heads. I don't know what happened to these guys. But suddenly, they don't believe anymore that God determines everything. And the people are free to choose. No, they started with this. They started with, well, we think people really are free to choose. And there is a realm of sovereignty for an individual person. There is that's a little degree of freedom. And so this is where they logically followed it through. They said, well, if that's true, and we believe that it is, then there's no way that God could have predetermined or foreknown anything. And they're right about that. If free will is true, let's look at it from that angle. I approached it from the other way. Now let's do it from this point. Is if free will is true, then God cannot know what's going to happen. And he cannot have decided beforehand what was going to happen. And these guys are smart enough to realize that. So they go with it. They say that God does not know what is going to happen next. He is waiting along with his creatures to see what's going to happen. And then when he sees what's going to happen, he goes, ooh, ooh, and then he tries to make adjustments. That they say that he's going to end up getting what he wants in the end, but that's where they leap off the logic train and go into cuckoo land because he can't make adjustments. If somebody's truly free, they can refuse the adjustments. Ooh, that person went to the right. I was hoping they'd go to the left. I need to jump in there and make an adjustment. But the free will person says, no, I don't want you to make an adjustment. But, oh rat, why did I give away my free will? There was one time when I was the only free will in the universe. Oh, those were the good old days. Then I gave it away to Adam, and then I made a mistake of giving it to every single human being. 8 billion human beings have competing free wills. None of them can be free. Certainly not mine. Oh, it was a terrible day when I gave it away. Ooh, I regret that day. I'll never get it back. That's right. Numb nuts, Christian God, you never get it back if you gave it away. So God can't make an adjustment. These guys keep saying, well, God can, you know, work things around, move the pieces around like the maze on the rat, like the walls in the rat maze. But he can't do that if the person is exercising their free will. They can decide they don't want him to do that. Well, we don't want you to make an adjustment. Oh, shoot. Are you sure? Please let me make an adjustment because things are going askew. They're going askance. Now I'm not sure if I'm going to get what I want. Oh, this is terrible. Yeah, well, you shouldn't have given away your free will, numb nuts. It's not very nice. I don't have to be nice to you because you're a baker. With a big white beard. And yellow ratty teeth. So these guys being consistent say, oh, the future really is open. That's why it's called open theism. The future is open. Consistent with free will. Consistent with free will. But see, the free will people who aren't as intellectually astute as my friends, the contradiction doesn't bother them. They say both things. Yes, we have free will, but God also determined everything beforehand, and he knows everything. Yeah, 1 John 3:20, God knows everything. That's a tough one for the free will people. That one verse, 1 John 3:20, if I'm wrong about the verse, I'll correct it down here, destroys human free will because it goes back to what I said. If God knows everything, then he knows what's going to happen. And if he knows what's going to happen, then it has to happen. And if it has to happen, then free will is demonstrably false because free will states that it doesn't have to, nothing has to happen because the individual at the point of the intersection is free. They can go to the left or to the right and the universe awaits and so does God. But see, Christians are inconsistent. Yeah, we're free and God decided everything ahead of time. Because they give a verbal assent to Isaiah 46, 10, and 11, but that's BS. It's only a verbal assent. They don't really believe it, because what they really believe with all their heart is human free will. But when they're confronted with Isaiah 46:10-11 says, well, God determines everything ahead of time. Free will and that cannot exist simultaneously unless you're in an insane asylum and you just hold every contradiction known to man, dry water, dark light, whatever you like, that's right in the same category. A God who determines everything and then has to wait to see what's going to happen because humans have free will. It's impossible. You'll end up in the cuckoo's nest. Or you should. Christians don't mind the contradiction. Well, it's a mystery. That's what they like to say. Well, it's a mystery. So, the Christians have two trains crashing in the night. There's boiling corn syrup just flowing all over the place. And then they brush their hands like, nothing to see here, folks. There's a train wreck behind them of two contradictory things crashing, and they say nothing to see here. Because they're a bunch of hypocrites. A bunch of hypocrites. At least my friends are consistent and say, well, God does not know everything. That's horrible consistency. If you believe in free will, that's consistent. Terribly consistent. But at least they're consistent. Let me finish that off. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get to whatever volume that was, but my friends told me where it was. On Monday, it's going to be a real treat for you. We're going to visit this woman in the playhouse, and we're going to see, I'm going to give you another beautiful, like, practical example to help you understand these theological examples. That helps sometimes, doesn't it? To have a practical example from life, like a stage play or a production, and then compare it to God does the same thing. And then what would it be like if nobody had a script, if nobody knew what the story was? Yeah. So that's on Monday. What a treat that'll be for you. Now, yes, if an event is required to take place before it takes place, then the doctrine of human free will is provably false, because human free will, if it is truly free, requires the future to be open, that is, undetermined. Why? Because the human must be the one in the free will scheme. Here it is. The human must be the one in the free will scheme who decides what will happen next. Freedom requires this. It requires people to decide what will happen next, and only they know. Future is open. See, the future is open. Could go this way, could go that way. And since God didn't predetermine it, he has to wait himself to see what's going to happen. So freedom requires the individual to be the decider, not God. No, not God. Understand, the human being is the decider in what happens next. Well, because if God was the decider, then the human is not the decider. Therefore, human free will is an illusion. That's just what it is. It's an illusion. People think they have it. They feel free. I don't feel the hand of God. I feel completely independent. That's why you have to fly by your instrument, the Word of God, not by your feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. And your feelings have lied to anyone who believes in free will. Your feelings are lying to you. I don't care if you believe in a little free will or a lot of free will. Your feelings are lying to you. We're not into feelings here. We're into Scripture. And I say, believe Scripture in spite of what the clergy tell you.